Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cryptic Cocktail Party, a show where we have a few drinks, share a few laughs, take a dive into the unknown. I'm your host, Dave, and today I am joined by the most beautiful man I know, one of my best friends, Jonathan Bunting. What's going on, bud?
Dave, you flatter me too much. I was just about to say something, and I have the active shooter thing going. Oh, yeah. So, and literally right as you said, how are you, the action news started playing. John, how are you? Active shooter alert.
Well, John, I guess that's a good time. You had a pretty interesting morning up in your area, I guess. Down here, it's been fine. What's going on, John?
Well, I woke up this morning and I went to go make breakfast, and then my phone started blaring and so did my watch. So I figured, it's got to be like another Amber Alert or something. But then I looked at it and it said, hey, shelter in place and lock all your doors because there is police activity in the area. And I'm like, I mean, okay. So, of course, I do what any normal person would do, is put my shoes on and go outside and try to find said police activity. And right next to my apartment is where the St. Paddy's Day parade was going to happen. And everybody was excited for that. Didn't happen last year. Got canceled because of the rain. And then this year gets canceled again because of shots fired. So the guy apparently has murdered three people and is on the loose in Trenton, New Jersey currently.
Yeah, possibly with hostages.
Possibly with hostages.
Dude, that is the area of Pennsylvania that you live in is just like a... Like, we were talking about this a little bit before the show started, but I don't understand how that small of an area can just be so fucking... Because, like, recently, a man decapitated his father in that area and then put the video on YouTube. And then there wasn't there a guy just got arrested for January 6th insurrectionism. Yep. And then I think there was a... Wasn't there, like, a...
Then there was a guy... two streets down from where my dad lives. There was a guy who was out in his backyard just popping shotgun rounds off in the backyard, screaming that the feds were going to get him. It's just normal red-blooded Americans.
That area is so fucked, dude.
We could have a whole different, like I said before the show, I could have a whole different podcast on this, but it's just really because this area decided that it didn't want to have regulations for, you know, recovery houses. So any Tom, Dick, and Harry can just buy a house, throw 10 people in it, say they're all in recovery, charge them all $100 a month in rent, and yay. Now they all come down to this area.
But, you know, it's a nice area.
Yeah. I've loved watching the steady decline of the place that I grew up in.
Well, besides narrowly almost maybe possibly getting shot today, are you doing good? You good?
Yeah, doing great. Doing great on this lovely Saturday inside.
Well, Jonathan, you know this, well, I guess when this episode comes out, you know what it's going to be. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. So, wait, when's the 17th? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a Sunday, and what are we doing? Drinking. So you mean every day.
Well, you know what, Jonathan? I figured to get into the St. Patrick's Day mood, we're gonna do something a little bit different on this episode. We're not gonna be talking about a cryptid. We're not gonna be talking about conspiracies or aliens. It's gonna be a little bit more fun than that. Okay.
Cool.
And it might actually be a subject that I'm not gonna say you're like well versed in, but you're like a fantasy guy.
Could have a conversation about it.
You're a fantasy guy. You're a D&D guy. I know that. You're also a big RPG guy. So today, Jonathan,
yeah,
are you ready to dive into what we're going to be talking about?
I'm ready.
Are you? You don't look ready.
I'm very ready.
Okay. All right. So, Jonathan, Ireland, the country that brought us Guinness, Jameson Whiskey, and Liam Neeson, while also being the country that indirectly and unfortunately gave us the Dropkick Murphys. Known as the Emerald Isle, Ireland is a beautiful country with wildly beautiful landscapes like the Giant's Causeway and the Bunbulbin. I don't know if I pronounced that right.
Bunbulbin.
Sounds
like a Pokemon.
No, it's like this famous mountain. It looks like a table. Like it's like tall and flat on top. It's home to many a lively city like Dublin, Cork, and Galway, and boasts a rich literary history with famous playwrights and authors hailing from the country like Oscar Wilde, James Joyce, and Samuel Beckett. But, Jonathan, Ireland isn't just home, like the home of pubs, cliffs, and that one rock everyone likes to Spider-Man kiss. There's actually a hidden world under the green and mossy landscape, a realm of magic, mischief, and sometimes even death. Today, Jonathan, we're going to be diving into the fairy realm of Ireland to discuss the origins, the legends, and the behaviors of some of the different types of fairies, of which there are many.
That's great. Great. Yep, I'm well-versed in fairy culture and lore.
I meant that as, like, you read a lot of fantasy novels and D&D. There are no fairies in D&D.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so fuck you, John. All right.
But, your wife did give me that fantasy smut book to read.
Did you read it?
I'm like halfway through. I get a little too hot under the collar, and then I got to put it down for a little while.
Is it really that smutty?
Not really, no.
Okay. Because it was wild as that she was talking about it, and of course, because all our technology is listening to us, I would get like TikToks that were about that book.
And it's
all just people like talking about how fucking like, oh god, it's a hot book. But all right, Jonathan, before we dive into all the different types of wee folk out there, I want to talk about fairies in general. Now, do you know anything about fairies?
They're tiny. They're usually for some reason very attractive women that have wings.
All right. Well, Jonathan, fairies are deeply rooted in Irish tradition, beliefs, and folklore. While many in Ireland may not wholeheartedly believe in fairies, there is a lot of superstition, and most people just like won't go out of their way to try and piss them off for reasons that we're probably going to get into. But there was a time when 9 out of like 10 people in Ireland believed like full send. So, Jonathan, you might be asking, how did the fairies come to be in Ireland? Is that what you're asking yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Well, according to legend, the ancient Celts believed in the Tuatha De Danann, which means, quote, the folk of the goddess Danu. They were a supernatural race that some believe represented pre-Christian deities, I guess, of Ireland, and lived on the island long before humans. Like, they're like the OG Irish folk. That is, okay, until the Milesians?
You're about to say something else.
Yeah, the Milesians arrived and attacked the Tuatha and drove them underground. The Tuatha De Danann used their magical powers to become she, better known today as fairies, little people, or wee folk, and established the fairy realm, also known as the other world, which is metal as all hell.
Not that place on Grand Avenue?
Not the place. Okay. No, which I still need to go to.
Yeah.
Now, the fairy realm or other world is a place just beyond but parallel to our own. It's said to be a beautiful ethereal world filled with magical beings, and just all around seems like a pretty chill place. Entrances to the other world are all around Ireland. Caves, such as the Owanagat Cave in Roscommon, is said to be one. Neolithic tombs, stone circles, standing stones, burrows, tree hollows, all of these are said to be portals to the realm of the Fae. A lone hawthorn tree are often referred to as fairy trees. There's also fairy forts, which are the remains of Iron Age ring forts, and there's like a billion of them all over the country. And farmers and landowners will actually mow around them as to not piss off the fairies, because they will make your life a living hell if you do. Now, Jonathan, when I asked you what you know about fairies, the first thing you said was basically that it's like a Tinkerbell kind of thing, or some sort of Disney-ass like animated thing. Now, there's no fairies in D&D, right? Like the Fae is not a thing. I feel like they are.
Yeah, they are. They are a thing. Now, I am not well versed enough in them because I don't particularly. I don't know. I'm not playing a fairy when I play.
Because you're such a big, strong man, Jonathan. Such a big, I gotta be a big old brute, don't I?
No.
You sounded so defeated.
I always play wizard. Yeah. I'm too. Never mind.
Okay. Well, in reality, it's nothing like that. Fairies come in all shapes, sizes, different levels of nightmarish. Now, John, are you ready to dive into what some of these fairies are and how awesome they are?
I've never wanted anything more in my life.
I feel like you're lying to me, but it's fine. It's all for the sake of radio. First up, we got the Pooka. Considered a solitary type of fairy, the Pooka is a shape-shifting prankster that transforms into a variety of animals, but is usually seen as a black horse with fiery eyes. And while it does like to cause mischief to humans, it does help out, I don't know how to word this. It's not a shithead. It will help protect animals and assist lost travelers find their way home. I don't know why that was so okay. Hard for me to fucking get out. Now, next up, Jonathan, we got the, and I don't know, I think it's pronounced the Dullahan. We'll go with Dullahan. That sounds right. This thing is a fucking nightmare. It's basically like the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow, but like just worse in every way. Considered a dark fairy, it is associated with death and darkness. According to legend,
yeah,
the Dullahan, or quote unquote dark man, is a harbinger of death and is depicted as a headless rider that holds its own decapitated and decaying head as a lantern.
I'm all about this.
It lights its way with the hellish hellfire that emits from its eyes. He has a whip. The whip is made from a human spine that it ripped out of a corpse. And both his cloak and horse are said to be darker than the darkness itself. Now,
that's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Right? It's fucking metal as shit, dude.
Yeah.
Now, for some, they may get a warning that death itself, the Dullahan, is coming for them. Courtesy of the next fairy we're going to be talking about, and that is one that you're probably very familiar with, and that is the Banshee. You're familiar with the Banshee, right?
Yeah.
All right.
No Banshees.
Now, while the Dullahan does the ripping and the tearing and is just death incarnate, the Banshee is like an early warning system, basically, for your impending doom. And unlike the Dullahan, who will kill just pretty much anyone it comes across, the Banshee, or quote, woman of the fairy mound, is a female spirit who heralds the death of a family member by unleashing an unearthly wail that is filled with such sorrow that its cry has been described as, quote, mournful beyond all other sounds on earth.
Jesus.
Now, descriptions of the Banshee differ by region. Some describe her with long, streaming hair that she continuously combs. She may be wearing a gray cloak and green dress, her eyes bloodshot from continuously crying. She's also been described as having red hair and wearing a white dress with like a ghostly complexion. Some say she's average height. Others say she's between 1 and 4 feet tall.
Could be anything.
Some say she appears as an old woman, while others say she assumes the form of a, quote, sweet swinging virgin of the family who died young, end quote, and has now been tasked to be the bearer of bad news for her living kin. But no matter what she appears as, it's not good. Like, you do not want to hear this thing coming, because it could possibly just means either certain death for you, a loved one, and I, for one, do not want the headless horseman man showing up and just like beating me to death with a human spine. Like, that's...
No. Honestly, it'd probably be a good way to go, though.
Just being beaten to death by...
Hey, man. But like you said, it's metal as fuck.
I like to think so. So when I was doing the research for this episode, I always assumed, like, I did have that preconceived notion of, like, fairies being, like, I knew they were a bit mischievous, and I knew that they were like just a little guy doing pranks.
Little scamps,
yeah,
little scamps.
I didn't realize that like fairies. And I'm not going to say it's like a broad overall term to describe a lot of things, but I didn't think it was going to be fucking a headless horseman and the Banshee were considered fairies. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I only know very little about, like, if you're going to talk about, like, the fae world, but from what I know is that it's, everything is, like, extremely exaggerated, things that aren't supposed to, you ever see the movie Annihilation?
Yeah.
Natalie Portman?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, where things that aren't supposed to kind of go together, and make some weird amalgamation or anything. Like, that's kind of what, at least what I'm described as, have been described as the Fey realm. Like trees that are like all weird and have like limbs and shit growing off them.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, it's all, but everybody's having a good time, you know?
Yeah. Cause
like, that's their normal world.
Cause that means that like the Banshee, the fucking Puka, the changelings, all those things, like when they're in the fairy realm, they're all living in harmony. They're all vibing, just a chill fucking place. But as soon as they're in our world, they're all just nightmarish hell creatures that want to just ruin your day.
Exactly.
All right, John. So,
well, the headless fairy is like Billy down the street in the Fey realm,
stepping on your front porch to get your paper. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, there he is again. I mean, that fucking horse shitting all over my front lawn.
You know, he seems like the kind of guy that would cut down limbs from a tree that's not on his property.
Yeah,
that's the kind of vibe.
It was that arm was hanging over a little too far on my property line.
It was hanging over my horse, and it's clearly a dead tree. If it falls on my horse, the insurance isn't going to cover it. It's an act of nature. I mean,
exactly.
All right, Jonathan. Well, the last fairy type we're going to be discussing today is an Irish classic. All right, we all know them, we all love them, and that is the leprechauns. What'd you say? Okay. What did you say? You said the car bomb?
Said the car bomb.
No, but speaking of which, since it is St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, I did decide I'm going to drink Guinness all day today. And
there you go.
I was really hungry before recording this, but I had one Guinness and it's like eating a loaf of bread, dude. I'm so full.
Dude, I only ever drink Guinness when car bombs are involved.
I don't have whiskey.
Like if I got to chug it real fast. Because I can't. Well, no, not that I can't, but like if I'm going to have a Guinness, it's got to be like a half and half or like a black and white or something, like half Guinness, half Allagash.
Nah, dude.
It's pretty good. The Allagash like really cuts through the Guinness pretty well.
I love Guinness. It's like drinking soup. It's like drinking a stew.
No, I hate that. I hate that.
Well, John.
I don't want to chew my beer.
It's because you're uncultured. All right. Now, Jonathan, the leprechauns. What do you know about leprechauns?
That's true.
That was not an answer to my question.
They're really ugly. That they're really ugly and made a bunch of movies about them.
True. Now, pretty much like you said, the leprechauns are kind of ugly. The ones that we've come to know, they're short, redheaded, little dudes dressed in all green and hoarding gold. They're pretty much like a staple of like St. Patrick's Day attire and children's cereal mascots. But
yeah, the Lucky Charms guy.
Yeah, there's a lot more to these little guys than you would think. For instance, leprechauns are always shown to be wearing green with their fancy waistcoats and top hats. But in reality, they wore mostly red. And the reason for that, according to William Butler Yeats, is because leprechauns are solitary fairies. And solitary fairies wear red, while the more social of like this more social fairies, they wear green or other colors.
Honestly, that makes perfect sense. Red, stay away from me. Green, let's party.
I honestly did not think about that until you just said it. But that is pretty good. But also, what leprechauns wear, look like, and act is... Well, not act, but what they wear and look like is entirely dependent on what part of Ireland you're in. Because there are actually four different types of leprechaun. Are you ready? Are you ready to learn about the four different types of leprechaun? You're not ready.
The red ones, the blue ones, the green ones, and the purple
Jonathan,
ones.
Jonathan, you agreed to come on, and you sound like exacerbated.
This is funny. Oh, wait, there's more. There's more leprechauns.
In the northern areas of Ireland, we got the Lochreemon, and he's sporting a red coat and white pants. Kind of looks like a Revolutionary War soldier, like a British soldier. He's also got a pointy hat with a big old brim on it. Next is the Lurigadon. The Lurigadon. I got it.
Okay.
He can be found in the area of Tipperary. And he is also... He's donning a fancy little red jacket as well as a jockey cap. And just for added flair, he's got a little sword that he uses as a magic wand. Next we got a chubby little guy known as the Lurichon, just like an absolute slob of a leprechaun. He's a portly little fella, sports a red coat, that has 7 rows of buttons, but never actually has it buttoned. In every depiction I've seen, he's not wearing an undershirt, so it's just like his man tits and big old belly just flopping out. And he also wears a helmet that is several sizes too big for him, just sloshing around on top of his head. So, kind of relatable in a way.
Sounds like the Robert Baratheon of leprechauns.
Actually, yes, no, that is, yes. It is Robert Baratheon on his deathbed, just fucking gut out.
Yeah.
Next, and finally, we got the Cluricon, my favorite. He's found in Monaghan. He's a fancy little boy. He's got a posh red dress coat that he wears over a green vest with the trademark white pants, black stockings, and shiny black shoes. He wears a hat that basically looks like a dunce cap, but like a fancy dunce cap. It sits just slightly ajar on top of his head, and the reason why is because he likes going to the different pubs and taverns and just getting absolutely fucking shithoused.
Fuck yeah. Let's go party with this guy.
Now, the differences in all the types of leprechauns pretty much stops there at their attire, because when it comes to their personalities and behaviors, they prefer to be alone and spend a majority of their time mending or making shoes. I did not know this about leprechauns, but apparently they're cobblers.
Nice.
Now, as to why they like being alone, one reason given was that they are voluntary bachelors and decided to self-exile themselves so that way they could just be left the fuck alone. Not like in an incel type of way, because that's involuntary. This is,
yeah.
Yeah. They're
neck beards.
Well, they do kind of always show them. Now, leprechauns are also wildly territorial and hide their entrances to their homes so that no snooping humans can disturb them. But if a person does stumble upon the home of a leprechaun, they will very quickly come to regret it, because they will not hesitate to fuck your world up. They will attack you, no questions asked.
The leprechauns know they're staying their ground laws.
Well, the other thing is, if a leprechaun isn't up for fighting you, it will do one thing, and that is make a mental note of who you are and then proceed to fuck with you for the rest of your life, pretty much making every moment a waking hell for you. It'll do things like move or throw your furniture, turn the heat up on your stove while you're cooking to burn all your food, throw your baby, take your dog out on a ride and ride it like a horse. Just normal rascal type stuff.
Take your dog out on a ride, but throw your baby.
You like how I sandwiched that in there?
Yeah.
Just
shot putting your baby across the...
Now, if you really make them mad, and I'm talking like John Wick after his dog was killed mad, they will just straight up steal your baby and then replace it with a fairy lookalike called a changeling. What's even more fucked up is that I could not find any mention of what they do with your real baby.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Sorry for the Game of Thrones references, but it's the same thing. Like when the White Walker took the baby, the Night King took that one baby and then made its eyes blue and turned it into a White Walker. And then you never heard anything about it.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Just, you know, what are they doing with these babies? What are they doing with all these babies?
What happens to the changeling baby? Like, you just wake up and your kids, I think it'd be cool as hell. My baby's got superpowers.
True. It did not say whether or not the thing about changelings, though, I don't know if the changeling is like, if it's like a,
like a full ass adult.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how fairies work. I don't know if fairies are born or if they're just like,
yeah,
up here. So I don't know if like, it's like a 45-year-old man pretending to be your baby. It's like every anime where it's like, I died and then become a changeling baby. I don't know how it works. But Jonathan, even with all this newfound, are you looking it up right now?
Yes.
All right. Well, while you do that, I'm going to continue. So pay attention. Now, Jonathan, even with all this newfound knowledge, there are things that pop culture has gotten right about leprechauns. Like if you catch a leprechaun, you will be handsomely rewarded. Some of these rewards include things like wishes, his pot of gold, or if he's out and about and you happen to just like get him like in a fucking headlock, he'll give you some of the gold from his personal stash. Now, the thing is to be wary of is that even though excuse me, the Guinness is coming back up. even though you caught him, again, leprechauns are notoriously wily, and they will try to escape, and they will do this in several different ways. One is they will full on just start fucking attacking you. and they're pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Spry. Like, they will fuck you up. The other thing too is that they will try to distract you. So they'll give you like a pouch of gold, and the gold in there is enchanted. So while you're counting your, so he'll dump out this pouch of gold in front of you, and while you're counting it, he'll put the pouch back in his pocket. Now they're enchanted. So what that means is that after a while, they will go from your table back into the pouch in his pocket. So it's basically just trying to fuck you over. And there's a lot more to like leprechaun folklore, and there's a lot more to all these different types of fairy folklore, actually. This was a very truncated and brief look at all of this stuff, and I hope it's all accurate. There was a lot of different stories and a lot of conflicting information, so I had to pick and choose which ones I really liked. But anyways, there you have it. This is kind of a brief, hopefully accurate account of some of the origins, behaviors, and legends of the Irish fairies. I don't know, but...
It's pretty good. I learned a lot today.
Did you?
Yeah.
I hammered through. I talked so fast. I tried to keep it under a half hour. If I had talked normally, this would have been easily an hour long episode.
That's fine. I'm interested enough that that now I'm researching Fae and how they're born.
Mm-hmm. And what do we
got? Well, I did find probably from the most reliable resource on the internet, Tumblr.
Oh, God.
Tumblr says the way Fae reproduce depends on the type of Fae species they are. Some are more corporeal than others, and so are their reproductive means.
Well, the thing is,
Fae can have sex with humans and bear offspring depending on the type of species they are.
All right. Now, Jonathan, hold on real quick. Now, is this what is this like? Fantasy Fae, or is this Irish Fae? Because I feel like Irish folklore, like fairies and just like normal Fae shit, might be a little different.
I don't think this is. No, because it does. Well, I don't know. It just says it's otherly creatures.
So and go follow at your... otherly creatures on Tumblr.
Yeah, this is not your normal fairy blog, it says.
Oh,
so,
okay. I'm sure it's 100%.
Whatever
like
constitutes your normal fairy blog.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I got a lot of this information from a website called IrishWeddingRings.com or something.
Nice.
And John Solo. John Solo's really good. He did a lot of the heavy lifting for me.
Well, I will. The only last thing I will say is someone who posted this has probably the best username I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, God.
Accio sleep deprivation.
Okay. Oh, God.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Jonathan. So where are you at? How are you feeling about the Fae? You know, like, is it?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling like I want to do a little bit more research on this Saturday afternoon and really immerse myself into the world of fairies and leprechauns.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was so much that I could not put into this. Like, each one of these fairies, quote unquote, could like constitute a full episode, and I might do that because I feel like, first of all, the Headless Horseman guy deserves a full episode because I feel like there's a lot more there, because sometimes apparently he's not just a headless horseman, he is a headless carriageman, and he has six black horses pulling his carriage, and he is consistently accompanied by a banshee who like trails ahead of him and screams the entire time, so that way you fucking know he's coming, and then he gets to town and just fucks your shit up. And apparently he mostly is always seen during certain times of year and festivals. Like, he just waits for people to gather and then it's just like, now's my time, and just fuck shit up. Like,
that's pretty good.
It's wild. Also, I learned a new word today called keening. Didn't know what that meant. Apparently, the banshee either screams, shrieks, howls, cries, or keens. And keens just means that it just sobs.
Never heard of that term before for sobbing.
And sometimes it can only keen while it's brushing its hair. That's another thing that I learned.
It's ew.
Dude, the world of the fairies is fucked up and weird and awesome. There's a bunch that I didn't cover. I didn't cover the changelings. We didn't go over changelings.
Like, no, we didn't.
There's a lot.
Because I want to know if the parents who get the baby swapped what they do with the changelings. Or do changelings just kill them?
I don't know.
What's the point of swapping the baby? Why wouldn't you just kill the parents?
Like, I don't know if you have to kill the baby to become a changeling. Like, to change into the thing, do you have to kill it? I don't know. I didn't look into it. We don't know. We'll never know, yeah. Jonathan. All right, Jonathan. Let's end this episode.
Let's do it.
All right.
Dave, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If any of the information I gave was wrong or inaccurate, keep it to yourself. I don't want to know. I like to live in my own fantasy world, so...
Hell yeah.
No, but for real, if anything I said was wrong, let me know. You can email me at crypticocktail@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at crypticocktail. Follow me on TikTok at crypticocktailparty. You can donate to the Patreon. It's $5 a month. You won't get anything in return because I am lazy as fuck. We also got a Discord server that I don't ever use because it got lonely and I was talking to myself. So if you want to join the Discord, there's a link in my Instagram bio. And besides that, I think that's all. Jonathan, would you like to say goodbye to the audience?
Goodbye, audience. It has been a pleasure, as always.